and reports it quicker and better than anybody else is our good friend Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com, who has been just a little bit busy over the last 48 hours as he joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Kendall, thanks for the time. How are you this morning?
I'm doing good. I have to be honest with you. I was on the phone for probably 6 hours yesterday, and I eventually will get to Super Regional previews. So good thing it starts tomorrow. But, yeah, it's been a crazy last day. There were four head coaching hires yesterday, and then I expect LSU to probably pop either today or early next week after the series is over.
All right. Let's start with, obviously, the story that you broke, and turned out to be Jim Schlossnagel going from TCU to A&M. And I heard you say it before when we were talking, nobody was going to be particularly shocked that might happen. You were there the first to report on it, however. What's your take on both sides, Coach Schloss and his change of scenery, and what Texas A&M was looking for here?
Well, I mean, I think if you look from A&M's perspective, I think it's kind of the same approach that they had, kind of had in football. It's like, hey, we've got all these resources. We put all this money into stuff. Like, let's get serious about, getting frontline championship-proven coaches. And I get it. Jim Schlossnagel, has knocked on the door of a championship before. It's been in two semifinals. But, with that, they took a risk in going after a guy that, rebuffed Mississippi State a few years ago. Mississippi State wanted Schlossnagel. They couldn't kind of get things figured out a little bit. And so, he ended up going back to TCU. And so it was a little bit of a risk. They shot their shot with Tim Tadlock. I don't think any of us are surprised that he decided to stay in Lubbock. That's kind of his place. But, Schlossnagel is one of those guys that, when you crack open the door and look at Mississippi State, that gives the illusion that, hey, you're kind of open to moving somewhere. And so I think Ross Bjork, looked Schloss's way. And I think, A&M probably had a little bit of a comfort level with the fact that TCU did share the conference crown. They won the tournament. They got a top eight seed. So, TCU had this couple of years where they had that lull. Now they're kind of back to who they were. So I think that kind of gave A&M a little bit of peace of mind. And so, that was not shocking, but, those two coaches, Rob Childress and Jim Schlossnagel, were totally different guys. And Rob is what I would consider kind of your consummate, baseball coach. I consider Jim to be more of a coach / CEO. And in that conference, that's an important role, being able to have an organized structure, being able to, have a large development staff and things like that. And so I think it's a really good match for them. I don't think anybody's really surprised. I don't think the sitting AD at the University of Texas would be very surprised at this either.
Would you be surprised if TCU goes away from Kirk Sarlos as the replacement?
It's crazy to say, but I would not be surprised. Leading up to this whole thing, I think we all just assumed that Sarlos would be the slam dunk hire. And I mean, the perception is that is kind of that was their plan, because you don't take an assistant coach, the pitching coach, from $300,000 a year to $600,000 a year if your ultimate goal with them is to make him the head coach. And so the fact that they're kind of steering away from that is really interesting to me. It makes you wonder, what's going on in the inner workings at TCU. But if it's not him, which is honestly what I kind of expect right now, I think a lot of eyeballs are on Dan Heaffner. Certainly he's done an amazing job at Dallas Baptist. If not him, it'll be very interesting to see what direction they go. Chris Pollard at Duke, for me, would be a guy to keep a big, big, strong eye on. Duke is, was an absolute ACC doormat, and Pollard has turned those guys into a national power now without any resources. So if you took Pollard to Texas and the TCU with its resources, because, TCU might not be Texas or Texas A&M in terms of, the money and the overall resources. But you tell you what, it's still a solid facility. Their fans really care about baseball. And, oh, by the way, you're in Dallas-Fort Worth and recruiting. So keep an eye on Pollard as well.
Kendall, two jobs I want to get your take on, one in-state and then one that was just inside the state, that being Arizona State. Arizona State, you reported that yesterday. They're going to go with Willie Bloomquist, an alum. And then Rice also is going to go with an alum in Jose Cruz Jr. So – we know what kind of job Arizona State is. I just want to get your direction. They went, but with Rice, Kendall, we know what that program did under Wayne Graham and what it was built into and what it turned into. Facilities, infrastructure, what kind of job is that job right now?
Yeah, first of all, Arizona State, that one did not surprise me. The thing about Ray Anderson, their AD, is he openly admitted, I actually can't believe he did this, but I asked him a question just about, being a historical power. And are you guys willing to pay top dollar for a big time coach? And like he openly said, like, hey, we're not in the SEC. We can't pay that. Like, we're not going to pay big money for a coach. And so for a sitting AD to actually come out and admit that was kind of incredible to me.
Yeah.
But I guess it's good that he was honest. So that didn't surprise me that much. I mean, that's a risky hire. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, you know, has no coaching experience. He's a special assistant to the president of the D-backs. But, you know, obviously a standout baseball player, both at the college level and the big league level, but no coaching experience. So, I mean, I don't know. We'll see how that one goes. Then Rice is an interesting one. You know, Jose Cruz Jr. obviously was a beloved former player. Obviously, we all know who his dad is. And, you know, he had a lot of experience in the player development department at Major League Baseball. With that said, a lot like Bloomquist, his experience in coaching is very, very limited. I want to say he's coached for 1 year in his whole career. And so, I mean, for a Rice program that is way behind in talent, they're way behind in terms of facilities. They've got a lot of work to do on rec league. I don't know if y'all have been there recently, but that place needs a facelift. That was a weird hire for me. Honestly, for me, I would have gone with Sean Allen or Pat Hallmark. I think either one of those guys have been solid choices. I think Hallmark certainly knows the lay of the land at Rice. I think he's, you know, obviously hard-nosed. You kind of instill that attitude back in that program. And then when you look at Sean, you know, I feel bad for Sean because he's been so close to so many jobs. And, you know, he's a guy that has recruited an extremely high level with Texas. You know, the players that you're seeing on the field in Austin right now are kind of the fruits of his labor on the recruiting trail. I think he's done a nice job, you know, as a hybrid kind of coach. Like, he's coached offense in the past. He's coached pitching now. He's done a really nice job. So, you know, Sean Allen, I really thought they should have gone after Sean and hired Sean. But, you know, you live and learn, I guess. I think in 3 years we're going to be talking about Rice hiring another coach.
Visiting with Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. One more coaching search to get to, and you kind of hit it at the start, but you pointed out that there were things that about other coaching searches that did not surprise you. I got to tell you, when I read your tweet this morning about LSU strongly considering Pat Casey, the former Oregon State great coach, that really kind of opened my eyes a little bit. When did you first start to hear about this, and how surprising is that to hear his name connected with LSU?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, I got a call from a source last Thursday, and they said, you're not going to believe this, but there's a candidate on campus right now because LSU had been on a plane to Eugene. And so, you know, I started digging a little bit more and talked to a couple of other people, and all of a sudden I get a text with, like, essentially like a picture of Pat Casey on LSU's campus. So I'm like, well, I guess it's Pat Casey. And so that's kind of how that went down. I mean, it's an interesting fit, to say the least. I mean, you talk about different cultures going from, you know, outside of Portland, Oregon to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You might as well go from New York City to Manhattan, Kansas. I mean, that's how different that is. So, I mean, it's a little bit different from a cultural standpoint. I will tell you, I mean, I'll be very interested to see if Scott Woodward sticks with this, because, you know, when we put that out there last night, there are a lot of LSU fans who are not very happy about it. You know, obviously Pat, and there's a lot to the story, but, you know, the Luke Heimlich situation at Oregon State a couple of years ago, there's a lot of people at LSU who simply think Pat was a part of that, part of a cover-up, and they don't want him over there. And so on one hand, I see what they mean. On the other, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's won 3 national championships in Corvallis, Oregon. The guy's a really, really good coach. And so I think he would do really well there. The question is, will LSU fans kind of accept him if he's hired? And maybe he sees what the reaction is and says, you know what, like, maybe this place isn't for me.
Kendall, let's talk Supers. And before we get to what's going to happen in Austin this weekend, or what we think is going to happen in Austin this weekend, nationally, I guess I'll give you the old, if you could, you know, buy a ticket, pick one spot to be in this weekend for you, where would it be?
Well, if it wasn't 150 degrees, I'd say Tucson, but I'd probably say Knoxville. I just think when you look at that super region with Tennessee, LSU, you know, you had Paul Maneri earlier this year taking shots at Tennessee's fans. That was at 25%. I don't know if you saw their crowd last week at 100%, but that place is going to be absolutely insane.
Yeah.
You've got Tennessee trying to get to Omaha for the first time since the early 2000s. You've got that kind of roughneck, hard-nosed attitude from Tennessee. I think you got this kind of, you know, Maneri magic with LSU. They played really well over the weekend in Eugene. And so seeing that dynamic of LSU kind of playing for Paul and then against Tennessee and Tony Vitello, that's fascinating. I think the other thing for me, too, that's really interesting about the Super is, You know, LSU, it's not very often that LSU is playing with house money. Like, most people, when LSU's in a super, it's like, oh, you know, I'm picking LSU. Like, I think LSU's going to win the series. But I don't feel like very many people think LSU has much of a chance in this thing. So LSU playing with house money and playing for Paul, I think they've got a puncher chance in this thing.
Speaking of 150 degrees, let's talk about Lubbock, because those start times are going to be 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 2 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday for Tech and Stanford. How do you see this one lining up?
Well, we were just talking about on our podcast last night. You know, Stanford, you know, they went out to Starkville a couple of years ago with that atmosphere and stuff. They just didn't handle it very well. You know, now you go to Lubbock, and granted, it's not Duty Noble, but, you know, that place can get pretty loud for a big series. And, oh, by the way, it's going to be 107 degrees. So, honestly, like, the biggest key to that weekend is how Stanford and Brendan Beck and Zach Gretsch and those guys, like, how those pitchers for Stanford handle the heat. If you're in the Bay Area, like, you're never dealing with 107-degree heat. And how they handle that, I think, will determine how that series goes. But at the end of the day, I mean, you got to go with Tim Tadlock and a super regional. Tech is playing really well. They got Kurt Wilson back from an injury finally. He was the regional MVP. And they're almost at full strength outside of a couple of guys. So it's really difficult not to go with Texas Tech.
Kendall, the two super regionals I find most intriguing are both on the Texas side of the bracket. One is Notre Dame at Mississippi State. The other is this the vagabond super, as I call it, DBU and Virginia having to play in Columbia. But let me get your thoughts on each of those. First of all, the Notre Dame-Mississippi State thing, because a lot of folks kind of wrote off Notre Dame and said they weren't deserving of a top eight, so it was good that they were 10th, and then they go out and just wipe the floor in their games. And then in Mississippi State, of course, you know, gets pushed, and then they get through it. They get through the rain, and they do it. And playing, you mentioned Duty Noble. How about this Notre Dame-Mississippi State matchup?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. You know, if there was any fan base that was kind of going after Notre Dame last week, and they didn't get a top eight, it was Mississippi State. And, you know, they called them frauds and all this kind of stuff. Well, I don't know what happened, but, you know, that whoever, you know, the committee made Notre Dame mad because they scored 50 runs and 49 hits in three games. I think, you know, how Nico Cavadas and Ryan Cole for Notre Dame matchup at that ballpark will determine how that series goes. Cavadas, a lot like Tim Elko, the big bopper at Ole Miss, who, you know, with one ACL has been still hitting home runs. I think the big key for Mississippi State is, you know, keeping Nico Cavadas from beating them with the long ball. Keep it on that series for that one guy. I mean, he's a terrific player to watch. And then for Mississippi State at home, they're a really, really deep pitching staff. So I do like State. But I think this is going to be an awesome series. I think it's close to going either way for me.
All right, and DBU Virginia there in Columbia.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. You know, DBU's a little nicked up right now. They had a couple injuries over the weekend, but you know, you look at Dom Hamill and some of those arms that DBU has. You know, Heath has those guys playing really well. And you look at Virginia. You know, this gives me kind of shades of 15 again when they were 3 seed, went on to win the national championship. You know, they're getting big innings from Andrew Abbott. Devin Ortiz offensively for them had that big home run over the weekend, had a big weekend in general. And then when you look at the back end of the bullpen with Steven Scotch, I mean, he's as good as it gets in terms of closers in college baseball. And when they can turn things over to him, they're really, really good, almost unbeatable, and they're playing at a high level. So I might lean Virginia a little bit, but I actually feel like it'd be really neat to see DBU finally get to Omaha. Because I think Jim Schlossnagel the other day made the point, but I think he was right. The DBU is an Omaha caliber club that has never gotten Omaha like a program.
Kendall, let's go ahead and talk what's going to happen at UFCU Dishfalk Field this weekend in South Florida and Texas. And let's start with USF, who they might have played in the most bizarre regional other than that Columbia regional last weekend. But, you know, they go to Gainesville. Florida gets 2 and barbecued. Miami's pretty much a non-factor. It's down to them in South Alabama. They win the winner take all. Kendall, for Texas fans that don't follow the American or haven't seen too much of South Florida this year, what impresses you about the Bulls and what they were able to do last weekend?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, this is a team that did not play very well for much of the season. And the fact that they rallied and got things rolling in the conference tournament says a lot about the job that Billy Moll, Carson Wentz, the former Florida Gator, their pitching coach, the job that they've done. You know, that is a program that has some talent. You look at Jack Joswiak on the front of the rotation, you know, who'll get up to, you know, 93, 94, 95 of his fastball. He's got good stuff. Ryan Sullivan's a really nice player. So they've got some pieces, but when I look at the series overall, I get it. They're playing with house money, but I'll look at the series overall and I look at Texas. I thought last weekend was a really nice indication of what to expect from Texas this weekend, because when you look at that regional as a whole, I think especially that last game against Fairfield, like that was an easy game when Texas got up big early for Texas to go, you know what, we got this in the bag, start playing some sloppy baseball, we're moving ahead of next week. But you know what Texas did? They continued to play at a really high level. They continued to pitch at a high level. Pete Hansen's urgency didn't change either way. And I just think that's the way this Texas team is. So I think the only way the USSF wins a series is if Texas lets its guard down a little bit. And unless they just totally change their mindset as a team this weekend, I just don't think that's going to happen. So, I mean, I guess there's a chance that, you know, you can have a guy like, you know, Jeffrey Pena have a big weekend for USF, or John Ziyech to go out there and throw the game of his life. But as long as Texas plays its brand of baseball that it has played, frankly, the last week of this last week, they were outstanding last weekend. I think they're in Omaha yet again.
The other supers I wanted to ask you about a little bit. First of all, Vanderbilt did what it had to do. East Carolina got pushed a little bit. How about your thoughts on the one there in Nashville?
Yeah, that's going to be a really good series. I mean, you look at Vanderbilt, obviously we're going to, you know, everybody's going to talk about Kumar and Jack Leiter. But when you look at East Carolina, they've got some big-time arms. I mean, Gavin Williams will get up to 96, 97. You know, if you look at, you know, Carson Wisenhine, he'll be one of the better prospects, you know, in next year's draft. I mean, they've got two big-time arms. They've got a lot of veterans offensively. Connor Norby, if you're watching that super, keep an eye on him. He's a really, really electric player. I'm intrigued to see how he matches up with those two, you know, big-time arms for Vandy. But, boy, they've got a lot of talent. They've got a lot of experience. And, you know, Cliff Godwin's going to have those guys playing, you know, to the wall this weekend. They're going to play really hard. And we'll see if they can finally get to Omaha. A lot like DBU, you know, ECU is an Omaha-caliber program that has not gotten Omaha.
Yeah. You know, Kendall, you mentioned Elko for Ole Miss. And I remember last week we were all talking about how that ballpark and that environment and that climate might really benefit Oklahoma State. And it never materialized for them. Can you see Ole Miss having much better success in that environment, in that ballpark against Arizona?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Ole Miss is, you know, Arizona actually has a pretty crazy atmosphere for big games. Like, it gets pretty rowdy in there. They sell a lot of beer and alcohol, so it gets a little rowdy at high Corbett. But, you know, the thing that's going to be interesting about that, again, it's going to be really hot. And the thing about that ballpark, too, is unlike Ole Miss, that ballpark is really good for doubles and triples. It's not a huge home run ballpark. And so I'll be interested to see how Ole Miss, you know, fares there. But I'll say this. I was telling somebody this on a podcast yesterday. If I'm Arizona and I'm pitching coach Nate Yeske, like, I am not letting Tim Elko beat me. Like, I'm putting the guy that has one ACL on first base, and he's going to have to run the bases for them to score runs. Like, he is not beating me. And for whatever reason, the last 2 weekends, it happened in the SEC tournament, teams are still pitching to him. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I think I like Arizona a little bit at home, but it could go either way.
I'll tell you what, for college baseball fans, this is why you need to be plugged into D1Baseball.com and why you need to follow Kendall on Twitter, at Kendall Rogers. Craig, during this interview, Kendall gives us a great super regional breakdown, and Kendall, at the same time, you're tweeting that Kevin O'Sullivan, the Florida head coach, has pulled out of consideration for the LSU job, all while giving us a super regional breakdown. That's A, how busy you are, and B, how good you are at doing what you do.
I might or might not have had that tweet saved as a draft for like 2 hours. So,
final one. The only other Super Bowl we haven't talked about is the one involving the number one overall seed. And while Nebraska really pushed Arkansas, carrying that 2-0 lead into the fifth inning there in Fayetteville before the Razorbacks overcame them, does NC State have much of a shot at all against the Hogs this weekend?
They do. I mean, NC State played really well in that regional. Frankly, they've played outstanding baseball the last month and a half, 2 weeks, you know, 2 months of the season. I think when you look at those guys overall, I mean, they can really hit. Devontae Brown, you know, you look at Tyler McDonough, Lucas Tresh. I mean, they've got a really good lineup, and they can actually match up with Arkansas on the mound. They've actually got a really, really nice weekend rotation. Reed Johnson's a nice arm, Chris Billman on the back end. So, you know, Elliott has those guys playing really, really well. So I would not be shocked if that's a 3-game series. I think that's actually going to be a very good series.
He's the managing editor of D1Baseball.com, and as he puts on his Twitter page, he's the hater of all teams. You need only to listen to his outstanding work to see that. It's Kendall Rogers. Follow him at Kendall Rogers, D1Baseball.com. Are you, excuse me, are you headed to a specific super this weekend,
Ken? You know what I am. I was secretly hoping that DBU would play ODU or Virginia in Fort Worth. I was going to try to see some new teams. But with Omaha around the corner, I've tried to get as close as I can. So I'll be back in Austin. And the only thing that I'm disappointed in, that Tristan Stevens can't pitch the first two games, so that we're out of there in like 2.5 hours.
there you go. Hey, Kendall, we'll look forward to seeing you at the ballpark. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.